Well, good morning, Beltway. If you don't know me, my name's Brett Stewart. I'm our online campus pastor. So huge shout out to the online campus. It's great to be with you. It's a joy to be with you today, whether you're online or you're in person. A few years ago, I did one of those allergy tests, you know, where they scratch your back and put a bunch of allergens on you to see how you would react. And in doing so, your back reacts in such a way that it kind of looks like you were making snow angels in an ant mound. Yeah, I did one of those tests, and it went about how I thought it would go. I went into the office, and I tried to save them the trouble of ruining my back. And I said, listen, I'm allergic to everything outside and dust and cats. And they said, thanks. Well, consider that. We're still doing the test. And I'm like, whoa, I told you what I'm allergic to. Well, we just want to confirm and make sure. Believe me, my life, my inability to breathe, my reactions are confirmations of the things I'm allergic to. I didn't win the argument, so we did the test, and as expected, my back reacted terribly. It looked like one major reaction. And then the doctor came in and said, excellent news. Brett, we think you are a great candidate for allergy shots. Turns out you're allergic to every grass, weed, tree, pollen, dust, mold, mites, and cats. And I'm sitting there like, really? This is brand new information to me. Sign me up for a shot, please. So I started to do allergy shots. I went in once a week to the office to receive it. And they told me that over time, my immunity would build up. I would react less to allergens. And I was like, oh, that's cool. So like, is it just like liquid Claritin or something? And they said, no. It's actually a small mixture of everything you're allergic to in small dose. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. So you're injecting me with the things that cause big reactions, but by doing it in small amounts at a time, I build resistance to it? I said, yeah. Week by week, little by little, your body is going to be, it's going to be built, and it's going to be harder for you to react to the things you encounter on a weekly basis. And guess what? It worked. My body built resistance to reaction. It built resistance to change. Now, why am I telling you this? Well, for one, it's West Texas, and half the conversations we have with each other are about our allergies. But two, when building resistance to something that causes change in us by taking it in little by little, it's helpful when it's for allergies, but it's harmful when it's the Word of God. It is dangerous when we hear, when we encounter, when we receive the Word of God and we do not respond to it. Each time, little by little, our hearts can become hardened, our hearts can become resistant. Little by little, we think, oh, that was a good sermon, that was a good service, that was a great lesson, and oh, that was a great retreat. But much like those allergy shots, the more we take it in small doses and we do not react to it, we actually build our resistance to letting the Word of God and the voice of God change us and have an effect on us. And in Matthew 25, the last 2 weeks, Jesus has been telling us about the dangers of such resistance, about the dangers of not being ready, about not being all in, about not doing anything with the life or the time that we've been given. Because when we do nothing with the things that God gives us, it's just like burying it in the ground. See, God's a good God. He distributes, he deposits gifts within all of us, abilities, resources. He gives us life. But it's up to us what we do with it. What we do with what we've been given matters. Let me show you a parable that Jesus teaches us this in Matthew 25. We're going to start in verse 14. If you're using one of the Bibles underneath the chair, we are on page 830. So 2 weeks ago, we looked at the parable of the 10 virgins. Last week, we looked at the final judgment. We looked at loving and serving the least of these. And today, we're looking at the parable of the talents. So it's important to note as we move forward with this text that a talent is not like what we think. It's not a gift, ability, or skill. A talent is rather a way of measuring gold, of measuring worth. A talent is around 94 pounds. So at today's gold prices, one talent is equal to over $2.4 million. In the NIV version of the Bible, it translates talent as a bag of gold to give us that imagery, just this huge bag of gold that Jesus gives us. So let's keep that in mind as we read the text to see what Jesus is teaching. For it will be like a man going on a journey and called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability, and then he went away. So the story starts out, for it will be like. What is the it? It will be like what? Well, the it is the return of Jesus in his glory. See, Jesus came, he died, he rose again, he ascended into heaven. It's like a man going on a journey. That man is Jesus. And as he goes on this journey to heaven, before he returns to earth in his glory for the final return, he entrusts to his servants, he entrusts to you and I, talents. So if one talent, if one bag of gold is equal to $2.4 million, that means between the 3 servants, the master gave $19.2 million. If that sounds outrageous, it's because it absolutely is. I mean, we haven't even gotten to the bulk of the text, but I just want us to see how rich, how abundant the master is, but also how generous he must be to give so much to servants. I mean, what kind of master trust servants with so much? Believe it or not, the answer is God. What has God entrusted us with? What treasure, what parts of his kingdom, what gifts has he given to us to steward until his return? What we do with what we've been given, it matters. It matters for the sake of our eternity. It matters for the sake of others' eternity. How will we develop what God has deposited within each one of us? And it's not just with money. I know that this is a talent that uses money to paint a picture, but the truth far supersedes money. Jesus, the master, has distributed to all of us gifts, gifts of extravagant worth, gifts that none of us could earn for ourselves. Our life, everything we have, is a gift of tremendous value. And not only is it a gift to just simply have and to receive, but our talent, our life is ours to manage and to multiply until Jesus' return. And so as we read through the passage today, when we see the word or hear the word talent, I want you to think the culmination of your life. I want you to think about your time, your money, your resources, your abilities, your relationships. So let's continue on with the text. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them and made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more. And the master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And the master responds the same way to the servant who took 2 talents and doubled it into 4. So the master has been gone for a long time. We don't know how long. And then he returns. He wants to see what these servants have done with what was given to them. I mean, imagine how they felt when their master showed up on the scene. The first 2 servants are probably feeling pretty good about themselves. And that last servant, probably not. I mean, I imagine it being similar to when my wife sends me a text and says, hey, babe, I'm on my way home from work. And I, on my day off, I was able to go to the grocery store and get flowers and do the laundry and make dinner. And I can confidently respond, great, see you home soon, babe. Compared to the days where I get the text, hey, babe, I'm on my way home from work. And I, on my day off, slept and watched TV and slept some more and didn't think about dinner and all the things I said I was going to get done, I didn't actually get done. And I respond quickly, okay, still working on dinner. It'll be slightly ready after you get home. And I throw a frozen pizza into the oven. I mean, these 2 servants can walk up confidently because they know they invested their time. They know they invested their talent wisely. And they walk up to the master and they say, Master, here's what you gave me. I doubled it. Here's 200%. And the master is going to say, well done, great job for multiplying what I gave you. And in doing so, the master promises to give them even more to manage, even more to multiply. But more than the promise of giving the servants more, the master says this, enter into the joy of your master. To be honest, I don't really know all of what that means. I went to Bible school. I went to seminary. I have a total of 8 years of biblical education, and I don't know how to unpack the joy of the master. But what I do know is that sounds like a place I want to be. It's a place where I want my family to be and my friends in this church to be, to enter into the joy of the master. Believe it or not, it's where Jesus wants us to be. So in the passage, we've looked at the first two servants. We've looked at five-bag Freddie, and we've looked at two-bag Timmy. They doubled what they have. They were given more by the master, and then they got to receive and enter into the joy of their master. So let's look at how it ended for that one servant. Let's call him one-bag Benny. So he who had received the one talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him and said, you wicked and you slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sowed and gather where I scattered no seed. Well, then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. And so take the talent from him, give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But to the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast this worthless servant into the outer darkness. And in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I mean, this ends harshly for one bag Benny. I mean, he didn't lose the money. He didn't go gamble it and waste it away. He returned what was the master's. He didn't get a slap on the wrist. He didn't get a do better next time. See, in the story, we don't know how long the master was gone. To be honest, we don't know how long Jesus is gone. We don't know when Jesus is going to show up and return. Can you imagine one bag Benny? Maybe he forgot about the talent. Maybe he intended to do something with it. And then the master shows up and he's in a panic. Oh, I don't know where I placed it. I got to go find it. And so he digs and digs and digs. It's out there somewhere. And then he finally finds it. He grabs it. He rushes it over to the master. I mean, can you imagine how dirty that bag must have been? I mean, can you imagine insects, worms from the ground, from it being buried so long? And he says, Master, here, this is yours. I'm sorry, I didn't do anything with it, but this is yours. And the master says, get out. Give me back what was mine. You could have done something with it. You could have attempted to grow it or to multiply it. You didn't have to double it. You didn't have to wow me. You didn't have to do what the other two servants did. I just expected you to do something with what you were given, but instead, you chose nothing. In this passage, Jesus is telling us that he, the master, he's given all of us at least one talent. A talent that's far more valuable than anything we deserve, than anything we could earn. It is a gift. Our talent is our money, our abilities, our time, our resources, our relationships. The talent is our life. And part of why the response to the one servant seems so harsh is Jesus is urging us that what we do with what we've been given matters. It matters in the here and now. It matters as we wait for the return of Jesus. It matters for the sake of eternity. Because choosing to do nothing with the talent we have is not an option. Choosing to do nothing is actually choosing to waste away the life that was given to us until there is nothing left. And it's easy when we see this story to give the third servant a hard time. But if we're honest, we can operate in that same way. I mean, the whole reason Jesus is telling us this story in Matthew 25 is because all too often we are the third servant. I mean, think about it. One Bag Benny, he was probably feeling pretty good about receiving 2.4 mil of gold. He probably pulled out his phone to take a selfie and post about it and show everyone what he got. But then in doing so, he saw his newsfeed and he scrolled through Instagram and he scrolled through Facebook. Whoa, wait. 2 Bag Timmy and 5 Bag Freddy? They got bags of gold? I just got a bag. Anyone ever done that before? Feeling pretty good about what we have, what we've been given, but then we see what others have, and suddenly that bag of gold God gave us looks a whole lot different. I get it. I am the king of comparison. I don't know a young guy that doesn't struggle with comparison. I know the Lord has blessed me tremendously. I try to work on being thankful and full of gratitude, but then I see others my age, and some of them are leading churches, and some of them have families and kids already, and I don't, and some of them seem to be running in the lane that they were created for, and my bag just looks a little less than. I get it. But when we only see what others have, it causes us to not recognize the gift, to not recognize the life that God has entrusted to us. What we believe about our talent determines how we will use it. What we believe about our talent, about our life, about our bag determines what we're gonna do with it. Am I gonna build it or am I gonna bury it? What are we gonna do with our bag? You know what our bag is? Our bag is our belief about the gift. Belief about the gift that was given to use, the gift that was given to multiply, the gift that was given to bring joy to the master. When we downplay the gift from God, we diminish that gift in our own eyes. We drain it of its purpose. We drain it of its power. We drain it of its meaning and its worth. We bury it in the ground. We grow resistant to it. I mean, it's just one bag. I mean, it's not what others have. I mean, it's just one talent. What if God didn't give us the bag? What if he didn't give us the talent? What if he didn't give us the life to compare it to others? What if he didn't give us the talent, the bag, the life so that we could hide it and ensure that it would be ours in the end? What if God gave it to us so that we would grow it, that we would multiply it, that we would give it away? Let me propose a hypothetical proposition for you today. Would you rather be given $1 million today, or would you rather be given $1 today that you can invest and double every day for a month? I mean, think about it. You give me $1 million, I got $1 milli. You give me $1, I have $1. And now I have work to do, or I do nothing with it. Let me show you a little bit of math through that $1. We're in the month of July. We have 31 days. So let's see what that $1 invested, that $1 doubled every day can produce. Day 10, 512. I mean, that's better than $1. Day 11, 1,000. Day 15, 16,000. Day 20, $500,000. There's no way this math is right. It is. I quadruple checked it. Day 21, we're already at $1 million. Day 25, 16.7. Day 30, $500 million. You ready for it? Day 31, $1 billion. You know, sometimes at first glance, our life can look like that $1. Nothing much. Nothing significant. I mean, what could possibly come from just $1? Sometimes we get so focused on what is given that we fail to see how God can grow it through our faithfulness and through our obedience. I mean, had we just buried the $1, we would have missed out on the billion that it produced. And Jesus is teaching us through this parable that our talent, our life is meant to be invested. What we do today matters. What we do today could produce growth times a billion that carries into eternity. I mean, think about it. What Jesus is telling us, that the immensity of the value that our life has, it's incredible. Every life is valuable. Every talent, every bag, every life invested can affect eternity. See, in this world, God chooses to primarily use and move through people. And chances are you and I are here today walking with Jesus because someone else invested into us. God invests our life if we also choose to invest it. I mean, church, what moments might we be missing when we don't multiply what God has given us to grow and to give away to others? I always assumed that this concept of stewardship was just protecting what was given to me, but little did I know that it was like burying it in the ground. Stewardship is not protecting what we have, but rather investing what we've been given to make an eternal difference. And the two servants, they got it right. They didn't keep what they received for themselves. They didn't hide it. They didn't bury it. They didn't grow resistant to it. They multiplied it. They gained more than what they were originally given. They gained more than what they gave away. They gained the joy of the master. And I want us to look at, what did these two servants do that was different? He who had received five talents went at once. Say at once. At once. And traded with him, and he made five talents more. And so also he who had two talents made two talents more. It's not about the amount that we're given. The passage is clear. Some people have more than others. We don't all have the same things. We don't all have the same gifts or abilities or skills. We don't all have the same personalities. We don't all have the same strengths. It's not about what's given. It's about doing something with it. It's about putting it to work at once and being purposeful. Because God gave us a talent. God gave us a life to multiply it. But there's a reality we need to face. We have an enemy that wants to snatch what God has given us to share. In Matthew 13, Jesus tells this parable of the sower, and the story goes like this. The sower throws some seeds on the path, and then the birds come and devour it, and throw some seeds on the rocks, and it grows, but then quickly dies out, and throw some seeds into the thorns, but then the thorns choke it out, and then throw some seeds into the good soil, and life is produced. But when Jesus explains this parable, he states that it's the evil one who comes and snatches away what has been sown into the man, into heart of man. This is what was sown on the path. Church, there is a danger when we don't do something with what God has deposited in us. We have an enemy that wants to snatch what God has given us to share. I can't tell you how many times God has given me a thought or a word to speak to someone, and distraction came in and snatched it. Or that opportunity to pray for someone or pray with someone, and then doubt came in and snatched it. Or that opportunity to sit with someone and just truly be with them and listen to them. And then that text message came through and snatched it. The enemy snatches our talent through distraction or through doubt. But he also snatches it through our delay. I mean, there's times I think I can love and serve those people tomorrow. I'll help them tomorrow. I'll do something with what God has given me tomorrow. Honestly, I'll be better rested. I'll be a better version of myself tomorrow. But when God gives us an at once and we delay, we become more and more resistant to God's word, just like that allergy shot made me. And what we've been looking at these last 3 weeks in Matthew 25, Jesus is telling us, we don't know that we have tomorrow. We don't know when Jesus is going to show back up. We don't know when we're going to see Jesus face to face, full of his glory. And he's going to want to know, what are we doing with what's been given to us? As I was preparing this message and the message last week for North Campus, and I've been in Matthew 25 the last several weeks, I've had to take a hard look at my life. How am I investing my talent? How am I investing my abilities, my time, my relationships? How am I loving and serving others for the sake of loving and serving Jesus? Am I focused on building my own treasure, or am I focused on building a treasure in heaven? Am I simply hoping to make a difference, yet burying what God has given me in the ground? Have I grown resistant to the word of God and to what God has given me? Or am I intentionally investing my talent, my life, to make an eternal difference? It doesn't take a literary genius to figure out the passage. Don't be like the one servant. He did nothing with what was given to him. His goal was to simply exist, to survive, to have enough to the end, just make it to the end. And we're told that by people and by culture that life a lot of times is about surviving, just make it to the end. Survive at work, survive in your marriage, survive as a parent, survive all those years of life so that you can have a few years at the end where you can receive and rest in what's yours to have. But Jesus is telling us through this parable, be the two servants. When fear, when doubt, when apathy doesn't cause us to bury our talents, we can actually multiply them. We can use our lives to affect earth and to affect eternity. Life isn't meant to simply survive. Life is meant to be invested. And when investing into the things that God invests into, it creates joy. It creates reward. It creates riches. See, it's interesting to me that this parable doesn't tell us what the two servants did to invest their talent. Probably so that we don't replicate the same thing, because guess what? You and I, we're different. God has uniquely created us. He has uniquely equipped us. Last week, the objective of the passage was clear. Love and serve the least of these. This week, it's a little less clear. It's a little more ambiguous. What am I doing with what I've been given? What am I doing with the skills that are unique to me? What am I doing with my time, my abilities, my money? For some of us to invest our talent, maybe it means giving to missions. Maybe it means giving to ministry partners. Maybe it means going on a mission trip. For others, maybe investing your talent, it means serving people. Serving inside the church, but serving outside the walls of the church. Loving and serving the least of these, like we looked last week. For some of us, maybe investing our talent, it means reevaluating, repurposing the time we have so that we can invest into people. Relationships, we can invest into eternity. For some of you, maybe God has given you the ability to start and to run businesses and to make money. And maybe God wants you to keep making money, not so that you can bury it in a savings account or the ground, but so that you can grow it, you can multiply it, and you can give it away to others to change eternity. If you're great at encouraging people, encourage people. If you're great at serving, serve with everything in you. If you love children, if you love students, then love and serve them like Jesus. Because Jesus is coming back. He's coming full in his glory. We're gonna see him face to face, and he wants to know, what are we doing with what's been given to us? And if you need a place to start, in your Park News, there's a QR code. You can scan it. You can find and see ways and opportunities to serve in the church, but also serve in our community. It makes an eternal difference. I gotta tell you, I'm so thankful for the servants who invested their talent into me when I was a teenager here at Beltway. People in names like Rick and Tim, Jeffrey and Jesse, Andrew, John and Lorna, Jeff and Risha, and I could just go on for hours with the people, with the servants who invested their talent, who invested their time, who invested their life to love me, to serve me, and to believe that I would one day walk with Jesus. I mean, had it not been for them investing into me, I might not know Jesus today. I definitely wouldn't be who I am and where I am. I'm reaping the benefit of what those people invested into me. My wife is reaping the benefit of what those people invested into me. My family, my friends, my neighbors, my coworkers are reaping the benefit. And those people who served me, I know they gained joy because we gain far more than when we give. But I also know that one day they are going to stand before their master, King of Glory, face to face. He's going to give them the reward and he's going to say, enter into the joy of your master. See, these people, they didn't have it all figured out. They were just willing. They were ready to say yes. They started with where they were and with what they have. And maybe what seemed like a little dollar at first is now growing towards a billion because it was invested, it was multiplied, because followers and servants of Jesus invested what had been given to them. And for some of us today, maybe God wants you to hear, well done. Thank you for investing. Thank you for multiplying what I've given you. Keep going. Keep it up. Go till the end. It's changing eternity. And maybe some of us, maybe we're being challenged. Maybe this stings a little. That's okay. Let's start at once and say, yes, let's go all in with everything God's given us. Because if we don't, we become more and more resistant to the word and to the presence of God. As we seek God, he's gonna show us a way. He's going to show us the people to love and to serve. He's going to give us desires and convictions so that we know who, when, and where to invest into. These last 3 weeks, Matthew 25, it's asking us, am I ready? Am I loving and serving the least of these? Am I using what I've been given to multiply God's kingdom? Am I all in? Matthew 25, it's a hard chapter. It's not easy to hear. It doesn't always feel good. But we cannot miss the immense joy and reward that there is to receive. God wants us to receive the joy of the Master. It shouldn't create fear. It should rather stir our faith. Knowing that we gain far more when we give, but also when taking the talent, taking the life that God has given us to multiply, to invest, to grow, and to give to others, that one day we're gonna stand face to face with Jesus. He's gonna look at us. He's gonna say, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you first loved and served us. You gave us your life so that we might have life and have it abundantly. Thank you for pouring out good gifts, depositing within each one of us abilities, resources, life. Not so that we could hold it, not so that we could bury it, but so that we could invest it. We could grow it as we give it away so that others might know and receive the life and the hope that's in Jesus. Lord, stir us with compassion. Stir us with conviction today. Lord, would we be the servants who at once take what has been given to them and put it to work so that our enemy does not snatch what you have given us to share, what you've given us to bless and to love and serve others. Lord, show us ways. Show us people. God, would we not wait for tomorrow? We don't know if tomorrow comes. We don't know if this afternoon comes. But we know that we are here right now and we have what we have. So let's take our next step and at once Invest the life that you've been so good and faithful to give us. God, would you show some of us that little dollar that looks like our life? Would you show us how your faithfulness meets our faith? And by taking steps and at once investing what we've been given, God, that you can grow that dollar to a billion. It changes this earth. It changes eternity. God, we just sit here right now, God, asking, what are we doing with what we've been given? God, show us a way. Show us all that you've given. Let's think of a way where we can leave here and at once invest it, pour it out, so that we can see you move and grow. God, what are you calling us to? With the time that we have, with the gifts, with the abilities that we have, what are you calling us to do? Lord, I don't want to waste away. I don't want for anyone to waste away the talent that you had given us. The thought of one day standing before you full of glory and saying, I didn't do much with it. I'm sorry. Jesus, help us right now to go all in, to at once put our life to work for the sake of changing this world in eternity. What we do with what we've been given matters. We thank you for being a good and a gracious God who gives us everything we need so that we can grow it, we can give it, and this world can see Jesus. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray.